Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Earlier this week, the Christian Church celebrated the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, founder of the Franciscan Order of Monks living a life of poverty, prayer and service to others. St. Francis saw the greatness of God reflected in the beauty and the wonder of creation, even preaching to the birds and the wild animals who followed wherever he went. So, with this in mind, let's start today with the musical setting of that famous prayer of St. Francis, "Make me a channel of your peace."
Make me a channel.
Of St. Francis, "Make me a channel of your peace," sung for us there by Wallingford Parish Church Choir from Oxfordshire. Today is the start of Prisons Week. For more than 40 years, the organisers of Prisons Week have prepared prayer leaflets and encouraged the Christian community to be aware of the chain of human suffering caused by crime and by imprisonment, and to pray for all those affected. Prisoners and their families, victims of crime and their families and communities, those working in the criminal justice system, and the many people who are involved in caring for those affected by crime, inside and outside our prisons. Prisons Week currently sees 25 Christian denominations and Christian organisations working together preparing the annual Call to Prayer, including expert representatives from the Church of England, the Roman Catholic Church, the Free Churches and the Salvation Army. Then there's leading prison ministry organisations and specialist organisations including the Bible Society, Mothers Union and Youth for Christ. Prisons Week calls on all our skills and gifts to see God's kingdom come and his peace be established in place of suffering and weeping. My guest, who is at your service this morning, has a particular ministry that fits perfectly with this theme. But I'm going to let her explain it in her own words as we welcome Reverend Helen Dernley, a recent visitor to the island from her home in rural Leicestershire. Helen is an Anglican priest, and as you probably know by now, I'm always interested to find out if this was something she always wanted to do.
It certainly wasn't something I've always wanted to do, not by a long shot. I look back in my life and I can't see a time when I didn't know Christ within it. I used to be a girl guide and I used to go to Sunday school. Church was always part of my life, but it was never going to be my life. It was when I was at university and I was striving in a law degree and aiming for, if I'm being really honest, money and status and power, which I thought I could get through studying the law, that I realised quite simply there was more to life than that. And I went to see my university chaplain and asked if I could be confirmed. And I said, I think I might be called to ordination. And she simply responded, I know, I've been waiting for you to come. That one conversation changed my path and my future has been completely different as a result.
What sensitivity that your chaplain could see something in you that she was just waiting for God to bring out.
She's someone who inspires me now. She works still in parish ministry and equips and enables many others in their faith. But in that moment of acceptance, of believing in me and affirming in what I believed in myself, it gave me a sense of courage and hope that has sustained me in all I do. And I was hugely blessed when she preached at my first Eucharist after my ordination. The only problem was she related me to Frodo. And to this day, I've still not read The Lord of the Rings. So I still don't know if this is a good or a bad thing. Answers on a postcard, please.
It's a good thing. Frodo said some really, really good things. So, first parish, what was your early ordained life like?
I served in Leicestershire. I went to university in Leicester at De Montfort to read law and then haven't left. I worked in a parish in a place called Knighton, which is just outside the city. But for those wise people who support the Leicester City Football Club, you can still walk to the ground. So I served there for a really, really happy 4 years with a community that was hugely welcoming, hugely diverse, who equipped and challenged me to preach well, but also I hope to listen well and to understand the differences that we all hold. So I spent a lot of time pastoral visiting, a phenomenal amount of time drinking tea. And when I look back to my time in Knighton, being part of a community is what I hold most dear.
Were there any reservations to you being a woman priest at that time?
I was the second woman priest in that area. I remember very early on, probably in the first week, that I'd worn my clerical shirt and I was walking to my boss and someone wound down their window and hurled some quite vile abuse at me and the fact that I was a priest. And I simply walked on quite chuffed that they'd recognised I was a priest because I'd worked quite hard to get there. It was challenging in other ways. So if I was to celebrate communion, my name was always published on the church notices as the person celebrating communion that week. And that was to give those who couldn't in all conscience accept my ministry the opportunity to choose to go elsewhere. And it's quite hard to not let that affect you. And I talked to my boss and said, I understand why, but let's at least publish who's taking the service. When it's a man, we'll publish their name. When it's a woman, we'll publish my name. But let us make people make the choice every week, as opposed to just to choose not to come to me. I've had people not come up to the altar to receive, but also I've had people really affirm me. And I think it's a hugely privileged path that I walk. And I want to always work for and represent a church that is one of welcome. But people don't always want to be welcomed. I can be as welcoming as I can be, but I can't force another to walk through the door. And I try and respectfully hold that, hoping that through grace, the acceptance of the variety of ministry that we have in the church will grow and flourish, and I can be part of that.
Do you think this sort of emphasises why the church must be out in the community in whatever way is relevant to its particular community?
I think the church very much is community. And if the church thinks it's something other, then it isn't serving like it should. I remember in my curacy, I was cleaning the toilets and somebody said, why are you doing that? And I said, well, the toilets need cleaning. If we're going to be a place of welcome, it needs to be clean, and for whatever reason, they need cleaning today. If we are not listening to the community in which we live, then we are not serving it. And that community could be diverse in a whole host of ways, in terms of affluence, in terms of background, in terms of ethnicity, but also in terms of hope and aspiration and wonder. And if we're not listening and attuned to the community in which we are living, then we can't ever articulate as well as we could and be heard as well as we want to the faith that we profess. And for me, that is a faith of love and of hope and of an ability to see beyond the here and now. I don't know why bad things happen. I don't know why good things should happen, don't. But I do believe in something beyond this, and looking beyond the now is something that always gives me hope and that I really believe the church can radiate to every community.
Helen, I'd like to come up to date to your current ministry, because it is the embodiment of everything that you have just been saying, that you're now working in an area where listening and responding to all kinds of circumstances is at the core of what you're doing. Tell me about your present ministry, please, Helen.
I left Knighton in about 2006, and I became what was then the senior chaplain of Her Majesty's Prison, Leicester. And no, it wasn't what I expected or necessarily what I set out to do, but I felt whole when I began to minister in that place. It is a place that has shaped me, has inspired me, and continues to challenge who I am and how I react and interact with those around me. I was privileged to serve there for 6 years before I took on a regional role where I looked after up to 42 prisons across England and Wales. And I had the rather unusual sort of task of looking at how we supported and nurtured chaplaincy through audit, which was less about auditing in a tick box and more about equipping each other to do our jobs well and to serve our very, very diverse communities as effectively and as well as we could. After I'd been in that role for interestingly another 6 years, I seemed to move in years of six, I was asked to take on the role I hold now, which is the Anglican advisor of the prisons in England and Wales, with special responsibility as headquarters advisor for those prisons that are run by private companies and also for those prisons that hold female prisoners. And that is what I do now. It is a real joy. It is a huge privilege to serve chaplains and to listen to their stories and to hold them not only in love and prayer, but also in hope. The tagline for chaplaincy for many years has been holding the hope. And I think it's a catchy throwaway line that you could study for a lifetime to understand what it actually means. And it is certainly the challenge I hold now, to hold the hope for those in our care, to believe in themselves and to believe in new possibilities.
But such a difficult job, such a demanding job.
Difficult, demanding. If my colleagues were listening to this, they would be laughing. They would say all I do is walk around drinking tea and coffee. There is an element of that. Challenging, yes. Privileged, absolutely. And my job is to support and equip and enable, and that is a real gift. And I suppose my ego could be really stroked by thinking it was something big and clever, but actually it isn't. My job is at heart and at root one of service. I am just serving a wider cohort of people right now, and that is a huge gift and one I hold on to tenderly. It's about building relationships, in my case, through my Anglican colleagues, and then in the female and the private estate across the multi-faith teams that operate in each prison. And at its very, very root, the heart of what we do is we build relationships, and then we, through that, allow people to understand more about what makes us tick. It's not the job of a chaplain to proselytize. That is not right and not a helpful way of ministering. It is the job of a chaplain to get alongside and to support and to answer questions and to equip and enable people to make decisions. And I won't ever tell somebody, come to church. I hope people say to you, Miss, why are you doing what you're doing? And I can say, because I believe that's what Christ wants me to do. The chaplains I serve know that already. But all of us need to feel part of a community. And any form of chaplaincy often takes you away from your home or your sending church. And that community, that collegiality of chaplains is something I've really enjoyed watching grow over the years I've been in post, and is something that is to be celebrated. We are a diverse group of people ministering to a diverse group of people. And yet, you know, do I think prisons will always exist? Yes, of course I do. And therefore, there will always be that need to listen and to care and to hold on to that hope for those who perhaps might not feel hope in themselves.
Be alongside all who are called to work in prisons. Volunteers, teachers, guards, counsellors, governors. Let them know that they are not alone.
Lord, all the court staff, the barristers, the judges, the police, the policy makers, the legislators, the politicians, those that work in the prison service, the probation service. But Lord, we pray blessing on them in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we want to see your kingdom come in the criminal justice system.
Lord, we think of those who are isolated and feeling alone. And we say to you directly, people who are feeling alone, you are not alone.
Holy God, holy mighty, holy Lord, have mercy upon us.
Help us to be responsive in our communities. Not just to what is seen, but to what is unseen. But we would draw our ears to hear. Maybe things which aren't in the normal realm of hearing, that we would hear your voice. That it would shape what we're becoming, not just as your church, but as communities and cities and towns.
And Jesus, I pray that you help me to reach those who are victims of crime in this time, and to be there to comfort them, to guide them, to be your arms and your word.
When there's no place that feels like home, did you ever sit up by your window and notice the birds flying so freely, gliding across the sky? Did you ever wonder how they got it quite so easy and how God gave them their wings? But the more I consider them, the more I realize that just like you and I, those birds still have to winter, but that they endure held fast in knowledge that spring will always come. And those birds that you've been watching, they still have young to feed. They still know what it is to build. So when they tire from all that time spent soaring, they still have somewhere safe to land. And the God that I serve, He made those birds. He sees you and He sees your hurt. But He built you in ways that are beautiful. And He wants you to know that you are enough. And even as you lie here now, crumpled by this world and nothing left to give, my God still sees you as His treasure. Whether you're walking through the valley or high upon the mountaintop, He's been right there beside you. Through everything you've lost, He sees you. You are not alone. He paid the cost. So when you feel like you are falling, remember He gave you wings. If you feel caged, remember you can fly. When you feel helpless, lost, alone, remember to look towards the skies. Consider the ravens. And remember where you belong.
I think what is beholden of the church, wherever it gathers, whatever continent or country or island it's on, is how we are places of welcome. And by welcome, I mean a true gospel welcome, a welcome that is sacrificial and welcomes the other that is different to yourself, and how we learn from that otherness, and how we allow that otherness to shape who we are and who we become. I don't have all the answers, but I do think the more we can welcome, the more we see the hope that others have in their faith, the more our faith grows, and the more we understand something of what Christ is for all of us. A challenge, a difficult person to get along with sometimes, but ultimately somebody who loves us through our brokenness, who loves us through our hurt, our pain, our fear, who loves us in the dark times as well as those times when our hearts are leaping for joy. And I think as a church, the more we welcome the other, the more we welcome Christ. And therefore, the more we equip and enable ourselves, perhaps, maybe, to become a little bit more Christ-like ourselves.
Thank you to my guest, Anglican priest, Reverend Helen Dernley. The poem, Consider the Ravens, was written by Louise Alexandra Erskine and performed by spoken word artist, poetess Jess. If you'd like to look at other Prison Week prayer resources available online, the website address is prisonsweek.org, and Prisons Week is all one word, all lowercase, prisonsweek.org. And we finish today with a look at our notice board. And as you'd expect at this time of the year, it's Harvest Thanksgiving services all around the island, with one thing in common, a warm welcome for everyone to join them for these celebrations that are so much a part of our rural life. Today at 2:30, there'll be a Harvest Thanksgiving service at Balligary Chapel, led by Reverend Sean Turner, with soloist Olivia Landells and Gareth Moore at the organ. Then tomorrow, Monday evening at 7 p.m, there'll be a short service followed by supper and an auction of fruit and produce by Peter Quayle. Bride Methodist Chapel Harvest Festival service is today at an altered time this year of 4 o'clock. I've got the privilege of leading that service, which will involve the Sunday school children and will be followed by afternoon tea. It'd be lovely to see you there. And there's a warm welcome to the Cool Methodist Chapel Harvest Home tonight at 6:30, led by Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett. There'll be special singing by the young people of the Cool and Christine Bragazzi. Then tomorrow, the 11th, the harvest continues with a hot pot supper and a quiz beginning at 7 p.m. The cost is £10. Back to this evening, and there's a mariner's service in Ballabeg at 6:30 tonight. Mr. Bert Quayle will preach, and the soloist is Matthew Quinn. This will also be a Harvest Thanksgiving and will, as usual, be followed by supper and community hymn singing. On Tuesday the 12th, Port Erin Methodist Church have their Harvest Coffee Morning. It'll be open from 10 till 11:30 with stalls and a raffle. Renew groups are something that we've talked about a few times on this programme. They're places where it's okay to be not okay. A safe space for new friendships, understanding, support and activities. There are groups in Douglas and in Peel and plans to open more. And their founder, Manx-born and bred Ruth Rice, is visiting the island this week. If you'd like to meet Ruth, hear her speak about Renew and see what the local groups can offer, come along to The Well on Broadway here in Douglas this Wednesday the 13th, anytime between 7:30 and 9:00. It's a very informal evening, just come when you can and leave whenever you wish. And as you might imagine, Ruth will be my guest on this programme in the near future. Someone else visiting us this week is the hugely popular multi-instrumentalist Simeon Wood. Simeon is an experienced retreat leader, so knows the value of places where we can briefly step out of the busyness of life and recharge our spiritual batteries. Because of his experience and understanding, we're so pleased that Simeon has agreed to be patron of the island's newest retreat house, Tide of A, House of Life in Peel. And Tide of A offers that retreat experience to everyone on the island, without the need to travel any further than Peel. There's even a bus stop right outside the door. Simeon will be leading a relaxing, music-based retreat day there next Saturday the 16th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and a light lunch will be provided. And you'll find full details on the website. Just go to retreathouse.im and retreathouse is all one word, all lowercase, retreathouse.im. And Simeon is also doing a fundraising concert to support the work of Tide of A, and that's in the Centenary Centre in Peel this Thursday the 14th. It'll be a show filled with wonderful music and laughter too. And Simeon is sharing the stage with our own Manx Voices, who Simeon says is the best choir he's ever worked with. The concert starts at 7:30 on Thursday evening, with tickets costing £12 and available online at centenarycentre.org or in person from the usual Centenary Centre ticket outlets all around the island. Also this Thursday, the 14th, in Port St Mary Methodist Church, it's Tabor on Thursday time again. This time, it's a Beetle Drive with Bacon Baps. It starts at 7:30 on Thursday evening, tickets are £7 each, and to reserve your Bacon Baps, phone 834 696, 834 696. On Friday the 15th, there's a fun-filled evening at the Laxey Working Men's Institute as the well-known local band Shenanigans are in concert there. It's a joint fundraising event in aid of Lonnon and Laxey Anti-Cancer Group and Christchurch in Laxey. It's a 7:30 start and you're invited to bring along your own drinks and snacks. Tickets are £10 each and you can get them from Laxey Chemist. And whilst we're talking about Laxey, it's Harvest Thanksgiving time in Christchurch in Laxey next Sunday at 10:30. Taking a look at some other events next weekend, there's a coffee morning in aid of Old Kirkbraddon next Saturday the 16th from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Sulby Methodist Church celebrate their harvest next week with special events offering something for everyone, beginning with a harvest lunch on Friday the 14th at 12 noon, two courses with a vegetarian option and hot drinks for just £10 per person. Places are limited, so please contact Ruth to reserve yours. Her number is 897 364, 897 364. Then next Saturday the 16th, there'll be a Disney film on the big screen in Sulby Methodist Church, starting at 4:30. There'll be popcorn and light refreshments, but children, do please bring along a grown-up to share the fun with you. Then the celebrations finish with a Harvest Thanksgiving service in Sulby Methodist Church at 10:30 on Sunday next the 17th, and this'll be led by Mrs. Pauline Corlett. At this service, gifts of non-perishable goods suitable for the food bank would be most welcome. And finally, an invitation to join a brand new Isle of Man gospel band. Singers and musicians are welcome to join the band to prepare for its Christmas concert. All you need is a passion for music. Contact the band on 43 33 74. 43 33 74. They'd like to hear from you by tomorrow, Monday the 11th, if you'd like to experience this new, dynamic and inspiring genre of music. The number again, 433374. And that's all that we have time for now, but there will be lots more news from the notice board during sundown tonight from 9 o'clock, when I'll be back with a mix of easy listening music to round off your weekend. Email me, please, with news for the notice board and requests for your favourite hymns. My address is judithleigh@manxradio.com. I do hope you can come back and join me again later. But for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning. The Nation Station.